This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And don't forget, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Of course, we're going to get to Medal of Honor Monday here in just a moment. Hang on for that. We'll do a little Roe v. Wade talk at some point in time because it's the anniversary. There's some things to address there. Someone wants to know why I cut people off. I block cell phone numbers. I cut off friends, family members. I block people on social media. We're going to talk a little bit about life. A life philosophy I have you may find interesting or horrific. Either way, we got to get to a lot this hour. But first, I want to do this. What do we always do at this time? Every Monday, start of the second hour, we do Medal of Honor Monday. This is how we honor these people. We have to remember their names, remember their deeds. We have to hold them up in front of our children and show our children, this is what you're supposed to be. This is the kind of person you're supposed to be. We take email suggestions for this. If you have ones you love, there's a long backlog, as you can imagine. So don't think if you send one in, you're going to get yours read next week. It ain't going to work that way. But this one, this was from November. Dear Menu Master, I served 6 years in the U.S. Navy.
Why are you gay?
Aboard a destroyer after a medal of, or named after a Medal of Honor recipient. His citation is up on the wall on the mess decks of the ship, and that story has resonated with me ever since I first read it. Since it is close to the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, I would love it if you'd read the Medal of Honor citation for my ship's namesake, John Finn. Obviously, that was sent in November. We're not close to Pearl Harbor's anniversary at the moment. But without further ado, Chris, if you wouldn't mind firing up the Navy theme song, let's honor a hero.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
This is for a John William Finn, U.S. Navy. For extraordinary heroism, distinguished service, and devotion above and beyond the call of duty during the first attack by Japanese airplanes on the Naval Air Station Kanoa Bay on the 7th of December 1941. Finn promptly secured and manned a 50 caliber machine gun mounted on an instruction stand in a completely exposed section of the parking ramp, which was under heavy machine gun strafing fire. Although painfully wounded many times, he continued to man this gun and return the enemy's fire vigorously and with telling effect throughout the enemy strafing and bombing attacks with complete disregard for his own personal safety. It was only by specific orders that he was persuaded to leave his post to seek medical attention. Following first aid treatment, although obviously suffering much pain and moving with great difficulty, he returned to the squadron area and actively supervised the rearming of the returning planes. His extraordinary heroism and conduct in this action were in keeping with the highest traditions of U.S. naval service. Now, let's discuss this in a bit more detail because that's very short and it doesn't really explain squat about John William Finn or what was going on at the day. You know about Pearl Harbor. Everyone knows about the planes attacking our ships in Pearl Harbor. That's something that's obviously, that's everybody knows that. But there's much, much more to Pearl Harbor. We've gone over it many times. But remember, they were attacking many things that day, the Japanese were. They had had spies in Hawaii for the longest time, sending messages back to Japan. This is what's here. This is where it is. This is like, we really did have a Japanese spying problem. Not that I'm excusing in any way interning a bunch of Japanese citizens like FDR did, but do understand, if we're going to do an alternate history thing, there was a serious Japanese spying problem, and we knew we had a Japanese spying problem. We did. Was it the majority of them? Of course not, but it was a bad problem. Well, they were spying Pearl Harbor. And Pearl Harbor, because remember, this is a military area. It had an airfield. It had all oil. It had all kinds of things the Japanese wanted to hit. By the grace of God, they never hit the oil. They really screwed up there. But John William Finn, he wasn't on one of the battleships actually in the harbor itself. He was on an airstrip, and that'll come into play in a moment. He was in bed with his wife that morning. He wakes up, a neighbor's pounding on the door. John, wake up. Hey, they want you down at the squadron. Now, he was a guy, yes, he was in the Navy, but he loved guns. If you read anything about the guy, you can watch interviews with him. He seems so cool. I've never talked to him. He just seems like a dude's dude. And he's a dude who loved guns, shooting them, putting them together. He was a gun guy. As soon as he got into the Navy, he's, I want to be around the guns. I want, and they tried to put him in other posts, and the dude just loved guns, okay? So by this point in time, he's in charge of about 20 men, if I remember right, 20 men. He's not on the ships. He's over by the airstrip. Now, it said, the part where it said an instruction stand. So here's what happened. He springs out of bed. He throws on a quick uniform and gets in and starts driving. And he said, if you listen to him, he said he's looking up, looking at Japanese planes flying by. It's crazy how common those tales are. If you ever read a book or news articles about it, remember, those are not jets. This is the time still of prop planes. They're not that fast. People all over Hawaii, civilian and military, would look up and see these Japanese planes kind of just putzing by overhead. There are stories, more than one, of Japanese pilots waving at people on the ground and people waving back. It's a very common thing. It's very odd. We think about fighter jets. You couldn't even tell if someone was black or white in a fighter jet today because they're moving so fast. This is not that way. He's driving towards the airfield, and these Japanese planes are just flying overhead. Bombs, bullets, everything going up. He gets to the airfield, and he finds his guys. I just want to pause. Our guys in World War II were so awesome. And these guys still exist today. Don't let yourself think they don't. There are all kinds of pipe hitters in the military just like this. When Pearl Harbor happened, yeah, we were caught with our pants down. And yes, all these things. You should be very proud of your country that day. It wasn't a bunch of guys crying, what do we do? It was just, dudes, get the guns. Let's figure out how to shoot back. Someone give me a gun. It was dudes getting stuff done. He shows up at the airfield, and his guys are in planes that can't take off, trying to use the guns of the planes against the Japanese who are coming over. That's part of it. Other guys, he finds, they're trying to take the machine guns off the planes so they can figure out how to aim them up at the sky and shoot at the Japanese. I know, Chris, it's freaking sweet. Well, John William Finn knows what he's doing. He pops a 50 cal off, and there's an instructor's platform. It would be, I don't know if you're watching on the simulcast. You know they simulcast the radio show. You can watch me do this. But you see the desk if you see this. That's about what you'd expect from a gunner's platform. If you're not watching, 4x4, 5x5, something like that, about stomach height. This is so you can set a gun on there in front of a classroom. It's an instructor's platform, and teach them, this is how you do this, this is how you do that, disassemble it here, okay? Well, he figures out how to mount this 50 cal on top of it, and he pushes it out. The reason he gets the Medal of Honor, he pushes it out to an area totally exposed. He should have died. He should have died a million times, and he just sits there for 2.5 hours shooting at Japanese planes who are shooting back. I cannot possibly explain how big the rounds are that come from these weapons that are mounted on planes. They're big. He is injured so many times. He's got a broken foot. I believe he was shot in the chest, the hand. He was shot to pieces. They were shooting back at him, and he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't stop. And of course, he's the most humble guy in the world. They eventually credited him with shooting down one of the planes. He says, I don't know if I shot anybody down. All I know is I was shooting at everything I possibly could. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he did. To be strafed by an airplane, I've never had the pleasure, the displeasure. It sounds like the most terrifying thing in the world. The rounds are so big. You don't have to get hit with one of these rounds to die or be injured. If they hit close enough to you on the ground, it'll create shrapnel that can and will injure and kill you. They talk about it a lot, about people who've been under attack on naval warships, especially in World War II. The strafing was a nightmare. And you could lose your buddy like that. One of those rounds, chest gone. He sat essentially on a parking ramp and just shot at Japanese planes for 2.5 hours when he was shot to pieces. So it's a short citation. It doesn't really tell the story, but dude's friggin' awesome, man. That's awesome. I bet he was in pain after that. Took 2 weeks in the hospital. I wonder if he used any relief factor. Remember, the body, when the body's in pain, it's because you have inflammation for the most part. You know that relief factor, you know that it helps support your body's natural response to pain. Your body's trying to fight that inflammation. Sometimes your body needs some help. And that's what relief factor is. Do you have bullet wounds or just a sore back? Maybe your foot hurts. Maybe your hamstring hurts. Maybe it's muscle pain, joint pain. Maybe your hands, whatever. Take relief factor for 3 weeks. Let it build up in your system. Watch that pain go away. Guess who else is on relief factor now? Jewish producer Chris dropped a nice bottle off for him today. It works. I'm telling you, it works. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or go to relieffactor.com. The stuff is amazing, all right? Maybe not as amazing as Mr. Finn, but amazing nonetheless. Okay, let's talk about cutting people off in the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's talk about cutting people off before we get to those emails. I'm not talking about in traffic, so I'm not talking specifically to the ladies here. I'm talking to everybody, cutting people off. Because I feel like I should explain something about me. And as I explain this, I want you to know that I'm not telling you to live your life like this. I'm simply going to explain myself because I feel like I owe you honesty. We got this email, apparently somebody I blocked on social media. Jesse, curious why you block people on X, that's Twitter, when someone questions your post. I'm not talking left-wing trolls, but people who that mostly agree with you, but maybe have an issue with your take. Sounds like you prefer an echo chamber, just like the commies prefer. I'm just saying. So, okay, so some guy who got blocked and he's mad about it. So I need to explain something, not to him, to everybody. I need to explain a life philosophy about me. So let's begin at the end, if you will. I try as best I can to live my life from my deathbed, meaning whatever decisions I make, I fail all the time. I try to think about what I'm going to think about on my deathbed. Am I going to wish I'd done X or am I going to wish I'd done Y? Am I going to wish I'd gone right? Am I going to wish I'd gone left? As I'm sitting there pondering my life about to go home. All right. So let's start there. Now, let's talk about that. I only have so much time here. You only have so much time here. We don't live forever. We're not going to be reincarnated. This is the only life God has given you and the only one he's given me. It's the only time we're ever going to have. So time is finite. Agreed? Time's finite. Now, this is what I believe about life. And it's not as if I'm the first one to come up with this. There's a million sayings and books and everything else written on this. It's just what I believe about life. There is a bottom percentage of people everywhere, they will negatively affect your life in ways the majority will not. And this applies to everything. Traffic. You know why traffic sucks? You know why traffic's generally awful? It's people love to say this about wherever they live. Ah, these New Yorkers can't drive. Ah, they can't drive in Omaha. No one can drive in Miami. Actually, the truth is most people can drive. And I'll tell you what, we're going to use 5%, but no one ever knows what the percentages are. 95% of the people can drive. The 5% who can't ruin it for everyone. That's why there's traffic. Air travel. Why does air travel suck? Is it because everyone's rude? Because everyone's a screw up? Because everyone's late? No, about 5%. Small percentage of people. I believe in my personal life. Here's an example. Bill Parcells, legendary football coach. He was a Giants coach, so I'm a huge Parcells fan. Parcells When he used to take over new teams, he was famous for taking over crappy teams and turning them into winners immediately. A year or two, Parcells has you in the playoffs. When Parcells would take over a new team, he would dedicate himself. His crew was commanded, one-third of this team will be gone by the end of the first year. When Bill Parcells walked in, he knew there was a percentage at the bottom that was holding the whole team back. Find them, identify them, get rid of them immediately. I'll tell you what, in the business world, I do the exact same thing. If you're a small business, let's say you work with 10 vendors, whatever that may be. Maybe you're a plumber. You get this vendor for this and this vendor for that. One of your vendors is garbage. One of your vendors occupies as much or more of your time and energy as the other 9 vendors do. Always with a complaint, always with this, always with that. You should get rid of that vendor. Your friends, this gets about to be more uncomfortable. Your friends, your family members. There's an energy sucker in there. Oh, it's just me and my girlfriends. Who's the one who's going to talk drama the whole night and crap on girls' night out? You have one. Guys, you too. There's one. There's always that guy bringing the drama. He's going to have too much to drink, can't control himself. It's always one. Cut him off. Move on. This applies to also fan groups of everybody. Sports teams, actors, actresses, movie stars, politicians too. It applies to social media. Trump has a bottom 5%. Garbage people. Losers. Get rid of them. DeSantis has a bottom 5%. Garbage people. Losers. Get rid of them. Taylor Swift. Garbage. Bottom 5%. Losers. Get rid of them. Giants fans. Bottom 5%. Garbage people. Losers. Get rid of them. It's not the majority. It's the bottom 5%. So this is how I approach everything in life. Don't think it's just social media or radio or anything. I do this in my personal life. I do this in my business life. I do this everywhere. I have dedicated my life because I'm living from my deathbed. I have dedicated my life to cutting that garbage out so I can enjoy the rest. I want to enjoy the 95%, the 95% of good drivers, the 95% of good DeSantis fans, good Trump fans, good Taylor Swift fans. Actually, I don't care about any of those. Good Giants fans, good business associates, good friends. And I can't ever fully enjoy the people in my life I should enjoy if I continue to allow the bottom 5% to have access to me and my time and my energy. When it comes to social media, if you've been axed on there, well, let me ask you. Did you say something to me on there that you would say to me in person and still expect me to hang out with you? Look, only you know what you said. Would you say that to me if we were having dinner and expect me to have another dinner with you? If the answer is no, well, you're cut off. Don't take it personally. I do it to family members. I do. I do it to people I actually know. So what would I do to you? I'm not saying that I'm right or that I'm wrong. I'm just telling you that's how I live. I'm constantly looking to trim the fat. Do I trim too much sometimes? Yep. I'd rather trim too much than too little. I'm getting rid of the fat of my life, and I always will. There you go. Let's do some more emails before we do Roe versus Wade. Here's an email. Hey, Jesse. By the way, I've been on Chalk several months, and they just called me and offered me an even greater discount. What a greater company. How about that? The dude gets a phone call from Chalk because Chalk found a new discount for the guy and called him and offered it to him. You tell me how many companies will do that for you. When I tell you these are anti-communists, I mean it. When I tell you about the amazing feeling you're going to get when you start taking real natural herbal supplements, I mean it. But the people who run Chalk are what makes it. They will help you. They'll guide you. If you want to call or text somebody about something they have, something you're looking at, 50-CHALK-3000. Call or text it. 50-CHALK-3000. Find out what they have, what they can do. I'm telling you. Get yourself on a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack or whatever, right? All right. Let's do some emails and then the anniversary of Roe versus Wade and World War III next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. If you missed any part of the show, download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Before we get to the emails, I think it's good to check in with Dome for a little election analysis.
Why is the race so close? These races are always close. It's the election of the president of the United States. And everyone in an election for president of the United States will critically examine all of the issues and make a decision.
Jesse, you believe FDR didn't know the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor? What about the military leaders acting on their own? Would they keep FDR in the dark for plausible deniability? The guy goes on and says a couple other things. Thanks for opening my eyes. Make me think. Okay, so I talked about this a little on Friday. We were doing an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and someone had asked, do I think FDR knew? And I kind of laid out how badly FDR wanted to get into the war, but that no, from everything I've read, and I've read a lot, doesn't make me a world's expert on anything, but I've read a lot about it. No, I don't think it's possible to have covered something like that up. I need to say this, though. There are very few things now. As I step back and I look at the world of lies so many people live in now, there are few things you could bring me about theories you have with the past where I could say you're stupid, you're wrong, you're crazy. When I'm floored how brazenly the people who bring us information, the people who run the country, people who run the military, how brazenly these people will lie. They will lie without end. And they have lied without end. So if we're going to go a little further back, and you're going to have some theory that FDR knew about the Pearl Harbor attacks and covered it up, just because of what I've read, I disagree, but I ain't calling you an idiot. And I ain't calling you crazy. And you might very well be right. I don't know. Look at the world we live in. I actually brought this up earlier, but let's talk about this again now. In fact, Chris, grab that Trump Very Fine People audio. We have it. I want you to think about this. Mark Cuban got real nutty. I'm sure he was drinking or something on social media and talked about how Donald Trump called Nazis in Charlottesville very fine people. That's what he said. Joe Biden, when he announced he was running for president against Trump, remember his reasoning? And he has repeated this several times since then. He said, I ran for president because Trump called Nazis very fine people. How many media outlets do you remember ran with that story? Over and over and over and over again. This was, I believe, 7 years ago. And what's crazy about this story, the craziest thing about it is, this is not 1823. It is the modern era. What Trump said is not only on video, anybody, anyone with a smartphone or a computer can pull up his exact comments right now.
I do think there's blame. Yes, I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either. And you had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
The media, Biden, everybody, how many people have they managed to manipulate into believing Trump said Nazis were very fine people? Your liberal Aunt Peggy believes it, doesn't she? She's brought it up, hasn't she? Everyone has a liberal Aunt Peggy in their life. Maybe you work with her or him. Maybe she's actually your aunt, your mom, your sister, your brother. You have one in your life. She believes Donald Trump said that. It's on video what he said. And yet she lives in a world of make-believe. So going back to the email about the past, you tell me that everything we believe about something, whatever it is, an incident, a war, politics, American, otherwise, you tell me everything we believe about something is actually a lie and it's been manipulated, I'm never going to tell you you're a moron. I'm really not. Who can believe anything anymore? We do the best we can with the information we've been given. Jesse, I was listening to Greg Gutfeld, and he thinks Dems don't care if they lose. They think something is coming, spiral out of control like a plane, so on and so forth. What are your thoughts? Okay, do Democrats care if they lose? Well, I don't know what Greg said or didn't say. I like Greg, so I didn't watch. I don't know what he said. But do Democrats care if they lose? Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Let me explain. There is a phenomenon that I really can't stop seeing it now that I've seen it, and it's really true, and you're going to get mad at me because as soon as I tell you, now you're going to see it everywhere too. The communists, the left, they think bigger than we do. They think about causes. The right thinks about people. The left thinks about causes. The right thinks about people. There's a whole collective versus individual mindset there that really probably explains a lot. But here's what I mean. For the communist, because he's a religious zealot, he's just trying to destroy as much as possible, as fast as humanly possible. And he knows if he does that for long enough, then eventually he will get what he wants, which is the collapse of the great evil, America. That's what he believes. That's what he thinks about. And that's what he does repeatedly, without end. And he knows because he has a cause, a huge, big cause, he knows there will be wins along the way. There will be losses along the way. But if he just keeps marching forward and keeps his eyes on the prize, then eventually that big, beautiful statue that is America will come crumbling down the way he wants. He focuses on a cause. The right does not. The right focuses on people. At any given moment, and it's always been like this, and I hate it, the right will focus on whoever the president is, if he's our president, or focus on whoever the candidate is, or they'll focus on maybe a favorite pundit on TV or radio, maybe a pundit you hate, maybe a candidate you hate, a candidate you love. When I say focus, I don't just mean worship. We make everything about the guy who's on the radio, or Trump, or this, or that. We make politics about individuals when politics should be about a cause. And that's what they do so very well. And so when it comes to the election, it's not that they're okay with losing. They don't want to lose the White House. When it comes to a cause of destroying the country, it helps when you have the top spot. That gets you there a lot faster. They want the presidency. They want to keep the presidency. But the difference between the left and the right is if they wake up the day after Election Day and Joe Biden has lost the White House and Trump is coming back, they will not slow down, back off, or cry in their Cheerios for 5 seconds. Yeah, they'll be screaming and yelling on TV, but they will immediately launch into activism. Again, local, school board, city council, let's get this DA's race, take care of the universities. They will continue the battle on every single front because they got bigger fish to fry than the presidency. And here's the truth about the right. And I know it doesn't apply to you, but it does apply to most of the right. Here's the truth. If Donald Trump wins the presidency in November, there will be many, 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 many people on our side who will wake up the next day and go, oh, wow. Whew. Thank goodness. I'm taking a couple years off. We got that election. Whew. We got it covered. Get him, Trump. You got him now. And they'll walk away. Or if they lose, if we lose in November, Trump goes down in flames, loses to Biden, whatever, cheating, who knows. There will be many people on the right who wake up the next day and say, ha, all's lost. Game over. Country's done. When no matter what, win or lose, we should be cause focused. The battle goes on. Today, tomorrow, November, no matter what, we will keep marching and keep fighting. They're cause focused. We are not, and we should be. All right? Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday. All right, so let's deal with a couple things here because there's some Russian news out there. A couple Russian things. Have you heard of Lockbit? You probably haven't. I'm very, very, very old when it comes to technology, so I haven't heard of it either. So allow me to do a little breaking news. This actually broke right before the show came on. I just waited until now.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
There's a group out there called Lockbit. They are a hacking group. This goes way beyond my skill set or knowledge. Just know that computer hacking, hacking into things that are internet connected and stealing the data is a big crime business internationally. It's enormous. We're talking billions of dollars annually, billions of dollars. Okay. How it oftentimes works is these hacking groups, they will hack something critical and then they'll simply ask for a ransom payment. They'll take the ransom payment and then they'll either unlock something they've locked or back away. You might remember, I was screaming about it on the radio. It was a few years ago. Remember when that pipeline back east along the eastern seaboard, remember when it got hacked? It got hacked by some people. And what happened was the company that got hacked paid off the hackers to unlock the line. And I freaked. I said that should be against the law. All that does is encourage the next one. But that's how it generally works. You hack something, they demand a ransom, you pay it. That way, they'll let it go. So this company, Lockbit, has allegedly attacked China before. Now, they have attacked the Federal Reserve. Because of this group's history, from what I understand, I tend to believe them. What are they saying? They're saying they have America's banking secrets, which if you got all the information from the Federal Reserve, you would have, you'd know where a lot of bodies were buried. So they probably do have America's banking secrets. And they're threatening, of course, to release all of it tomorrow on Tuesday if a huge ransom payment is made. Okay. Now that's Lockbit. But the thing is, the rumor mill, and there's a bunch of intelligence pointed to this, is that Lockbit is Russian. It's a Russian operation. A Russian operation like that would only be allowed to operate within the borders of Russia with the permission of Vladimir Putin. You don't get to run an organization like that, especially when you attack foreign countries, unless Vladimir Putin either orders you to or allows you to. Otherwise, you get shot in the face for a thing like that in Russia. They'll pull your fingernails out and throw you out of a plane for things like that in Russia. Unless, of course, you do so with the permission of the boss. Which brings me to this. Do you remember how I've been warning over and over and over again that American weapons being used now within the border of Russia is a monumental big deal? It's a little blip of a headline for now, anyway. Most people probably didn't even talk about it. But it has the potential to bring about the death of millions of people. It really does. It is one thing to give Ukraine weapons that'll be used to kill Russian troops. It is an escalation. It is another thing to publicly announce that, which our Republicans and Democrats have been doing forever. Yeah, I can't believe how many Russians we're killing. Woohoo! It is a whole other ball game, an escalation on an entirely different level. If those same weapons are allowed to kill Russians within the Russian border, because now your weapons are killing people, hurting people inside of our homes. Here's a good example. My car. You know, I got my car broken into. Someone jacked it, stole some money out of it. Remember that? It really wasn't that big of a deal. Had to call the cops, had to get the friggin' window fixed, cost me some insurance money, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Someone busted out the window of my car and stole some money. It sucked. I'm not thrilled about it. It sucked. But it wasn't that big of a deal. If that same day someone busted out the front window of my home and walked in and stole a vase or whatever kind of thing my wife has off the front, off the table, well, that's a whole different deal because now you're inside my home. That is a totally different level. That's not even close to being the same thing. Well, now American weapons are killing Russians inside of Russia. Apparently, and you never know what's true and what's not because everyone lies at all times, especially during war. That old saying, I don't know who said it, in war, the first casualty is the truth. The Ukrainians lie, the Russians lie, the Americans lie. Everyone lies about everything when it comes to war. But the Russians are saying now that an American missile launched by Ukraine killed 4 people and wounded 150 people inside of the borders of Russia. America's ambassador has been summoned by the Russians to answer for this. Ambassadors being summoned has been the prelude to war many, many, many times over. We were just talking about Pearl Harbor earlier in the show. If you missed Medal of Honor Monday, go download the podcast of it. But that same day, Japan's ambassador was summoned. We're killing Russians inside of Russia. Our ambassador is being summoned. And now a Russian hacker group has apparently hacked the banking data of the United States of America. I tried to explain to all these stupid politicians many times, we are dealing with a different game here, and you can be hurt. Everyone listening to the sound of my voice can be hurt. Everyone. This is a different era. I wish we had different people leading the country. All right. I'll do one more thought on that when we get back. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.